jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 5 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. How was the weekend?
Good, good, good from a Supercoach perspective. We've been hoping for better things and they did roll around. Better times did roll around. 22.99 for myself and that gave me a ranking of 1,019th. So sitting very pretty just outside the top 1,000.
1,019. Woo! Pretty good for this time of year, mate.
Yeah, very pleased. And
right within striking distance.
Yeah, we've moved up every single week. So yeah, I can't ask for much more than that. How about yourself, mate?
My crappy team is ranked 13,000, scored 22.48 this week. Just, I guess, none of the really bad stuff happened to me, but my team full of stinkers just didn't get it done. But at least I'm on the way up, which is progress. So there is some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I am the lowest ranked team in the Supercoach Aces League. The good news is the Supercoach Aces League is ranked number one overall.
Yes. And we were the highest scoring league in the top 20, is that right, this week?
I think so, man. And we're like 1,000 points in front of second.
We're doing well, so it's a good start. Very, very good start. So,
well done to all the Supercoach Coach listeners out there that are participating in those leagues.
So with an air of positivity, Mark, let's attack this show. There's actually quite a few difficult issues to tackle this week, despite most of us in the community doing well. And that's just because there seems to be a lot more
pre-round five trading, not something that we would have even talked about when we first started this show.
We've gone again to Twitter and Facebook to get our questions. Of course, facebook.com/supercoachcoach. And our Twitter handle is @supercoachcoach. Message us there to ask us questions in time for the Tuesday night show. So we're going to start straight with our first question from Mark Fleming on Facebook. Is it too early to start culling cash cows, Mark?
Yes.
Is that just a blanket yes? You don't think there's anyone in your team that you could maybe see being edged out? I know a big reason for this topic coming up, and we have had quite a few questions because there's not many quality rookies coming up and there are quite a few decent options this week.
Yeah, and next week as well. So, look, I think that we are going to be forced to probably pick those decent options up before the buyers. Realistically, you'd want to be waiting till round 7 or 8 if you could to be trading out your rookies, but given the buyers are coming up, I think with 30 trades, you can probably aim to try and upgrade that a little bit earlier. So probably next week, you'd want at least like 3 price rises from your players. If you're only getting 2, then you're not really getting a whole lot of value for your trades. Like Tyson had a great start to the year. He's only gone up 100,000. You'd probably want to be getting a little bit more out of it than that if you could. And a lot of these guys still have negative break evens and not really keen to trade out too many players with a negative break even. I guess the difference might be like a Gary Rowan type of player who is already gone down like $14,000 and his break even is twice his average. Did not see that coming at the start of the year. I know he's not a great scorer, but just gone awfully. So he's someone that I'd consider even this week. And look, I think next week someone like a Tyson might come up, or maybe it's time to get rid of Daisy. He couldn't get it done against Melbourne. So is that ever going to happen? It might be better off cutting our losses there.
Yeah, I think there are not too many rookies that have a break-even similar to Rowan's. On my field, I think Impey with a break-even of 19, possibly.
Tyson's 38, I think.
Cunningham's at 10. Maybe even Matt Thomas, Mark, some people are thinking about cashing
in. In the 20s, 29 or something?
Yeah.
Considering we traded to get him, he's only played 2 weeks in our teams and gone up 116,000. I think you'd want to really see at least one more week if you can out of Thomas. I would pass up, like, if the option is to go to a Crouch this week or someone like Cripps next week, I'd be waiting on at least one more price rise from Thomas, because if he belts out another 100, like, he's still got a fair way to go up in price.
Okay, so in terms of trading players out or cash cows out, we have the special exception in probably Rowan. In terms of trading them in, let's look at the best rookie options this week and see if maybe there are any exceptions that tempt you enough to force a trade this week. So Crouch, Mark, is the first one that we're going to look at. Has played a couple of games. The first one was sub-affected, but he came on pretty early due to injury. I think he came on in the second quarter. He scored 45. I think had something like 18 touches, but wasn't all too effective, which you can understand for his first game and as a small player. again, got plenty of the ball this week and 80 points. So he's got a break even of negative 54. And this kid could very well average 75 plus, which would be a really good get at 117K, considering how much we've been paying for rookies.
Yep, considering what his brother did last year, the fact that Adelaide have a really nice draw over the next 4 weeks. The round 8 bye thing is a huge issue. Adding another round 8 bye player to your team in the midfield, especially when you've already got like an Ablett, a Beams, Pendlebury, Cochins, Thomas's, there's already plenty out there. It could cause some difficulties later, but very tempting on Crouch. If you can avoid the sub vest and play the next 4 weeks, that's all you need out of him, and you'll be very happy.
The other player we're going to look at, Mark, has only played one game, but he scored so well that people have asked about him. That's Sam Gray, 104 on debut. Mature age player, finally got his chance and really looked quite comfortable at AFL level. And 102K is absolute basement price in the midfield. What do you reckon about him? He's not the round 8 by Port Adelaide.
Great first up performance in a huge win, like over 100 points. And with Monfries and Wingard coming back, look, I think he'll be hovering around the team now that he's had that performance, but whether he can lock down a spot is reasonably doubtful. I think you'd definitely want to see at least one more game from him before making a go there. I guess the other Sam is Sam Lloyd from Richmond in the forward line, who kicked 3 goals and scored 131 on debut.
Hard to believe that he performed that well when Richmond really weren't doing that well at all. I think at one point he had their only 2 goals, so... Yeah, stellar performance, and he's just got really, really good goal sense, worked really hard on his fitness in the off-season, and that was one of the knocks that we talked about in the preseason on him, potentially, but looks absolutely ready for that level, and compared to McDonough's performances, be hard to see Lloydie dropping out for McDonough anytime soon, and they were the two fighting for that one spot with Jake King. So, really like his performance first up, and I suspect quite a few people will be looking at bringing him in. Round 8 bye though, Mark.
Another one. Jesus.
Yeah. But considering he's the only high-scoring forward rookie at the moment, what do you reckon?
He's scored more than most of them have in the first 4 rounds, including Rowan and not quite up to Impey. Yeah, again, I'd really want to see one more game. Probably a decent candidate for the sub-vest at some point as well. And the round 8 bye doubts, I'd definitely want one more look if I could get it.
Yeah, he is a little bit older, that mature age. I'm so surprised having been to school with him. Did not expect that performance on the weekend, and hopefully he can stay in the team. Shout out to Lloydie. He's done superbly well, if you're listening. Any other rookies that we're going to look at? Mark Cutler debuted for Brisbane, and he was the sub, but we had talked about him in preseason, so he has that one sub-affected score, so you will have another 3 weeks to probably pick
injured
him
players up at the Lions now, so that'd be... digging pretty deep to get a team on out on the park, I guess. So he might get some games. The other one is Cripps, I think. I'm very interested to see another game from him. Scored 70-odd in his first game. And given Carlton's position, you'd think that they'd just want to get as much game time into him as possible this year.
Jackson Payne is probably a pretty far-out one. 160K, so expensive too. But he's a forward rookie and, of course, crossed over from Collingwood. So he has had experience in the AFL. So maybe look out for him potentially. And of course, Brisbane don't have that round 8 bye, so that's a good tick for him. But yeah, I think those are mainly the options, Mark. Anyone that might force your hand this week?
I will very strongly consider taking Crouch in, mate. Probably for a Daisy Thomas at this stage. Daisy just not getting it done. I may as well take the cash, I think.
He's absolutely basement price, and so you're going to make quick cash out of him, even if you have to trade him out quickly.
The other one that I guess everyone's looking at this week is a bit more expensive, and that's for Solo for $213,000. What do you think?
I think he's probably a better option than most of the rookies this week, just because he's that sort of mold that we like in the mid-pricer, absolute basement price at 213K and 72-106, and played a really good role for the side, a lucrative role at halfback and picking up some cheap posies there. So he could very well keep up some decent scoring going forward. And although he has the round 8 bye, I just think that you're getting a player that is probably going to average 80.
His 80, you'd have to take him.
How do you see him going? He's playing a better role, and he's coming off a season where he didn't get to play footy, so you would think that he's hungry. I think there's signs point to good things for him.
I was thinking that even at a 75, I'd be pretty happy to bring him in. I guess there's a couple of questions. Can you bring Fasolo and Crouch in together, given they're both round 8 buys, and then we're probably all round 8 too heavy as it is? And Would you be looking to bring Vassallo in onto the ground, or would you be putting him on your bench? Is it too much money to be putting on your bench?
That's a good question. A lot of people would be looking at Vassallo for somebody like potentially Gary Rowan. It's probably hard to bring him in on the bench, but then again, considering we're looking for value this year because it's hard to generate cash with all these rookies being so expensive, you might think, yeah, you might as well pay 40K extra just so that you can at least generate some value with that spot. How do you feel about that, Mark?
Our good friend Bandit raised an interesting point saying that what happens when one of the forwards goes down? We've already seen a couple of defenders, and we know from history that these forwards do take one-week injuries a lot. Are we going to rely on a Rowan Impey type player to come on the ground? If you have Vassallo on your bench and you can get an 80 from that, then that could save you heaps of points, even if it only happens 3 or 4 times. Plus, he's going to generate value. So given the fact that we can't rely on Rowan, I actually think it is useful to be bringing in Vassallo, even if he's just going to sit on your bench.
And as an added bonus for those people with maybe somebody like Lewis Taylor in your midfield, you could swap somebody like Patrick Dangerfield into your midfield, take out, let's say, Dunstan if you think he's going to perform poorly this week, and then move Vassallo onto your field that way. Vassallo might be an even more attractive option if you have that sort of flexibility in your team. Are any of these must-haves, Mark? Would you definitely be bringing Vassallo in, or are you a bit more on the fence about that?
It's hard to say who's a must-have when you're working off such limited information. I do think that Crouch and Vassallo, if they work for your team, are very desirable upgrades. They'd be close to must-haves, and covering your forward line with some cover with either having Taylor on the bench or Vassallo, I think it's going to be pretty important going forward, and just the cash generation as well. So I guess if that means you're going to 12 round 8 buy players, then you better have at least 2 or 3 that you're targeting to get out before the buys as well. So just be careful about how many round 8 buy players you're going to have.
On to the rucks now, where we've had a bit of carnage in that area, Mark.
I need to apologize, Marcus.
Yep.
I did recommend that Mumford was a good pick a couple of weeks ago. He came out and smashed a 160 thinking, yep, good pick. And then we were very, very quickly reminded of the reason why neither of us picked him, neither of us really raised him too much in the preseason, and that is laid outs, injuries, durability. I'm sorry for any listeners that went down that road. It looked great after 1 week.
And you even recommended the side swap, which is quite an aggressive one, which we normally don't. But Mummy was just, he was playing such an attractive brand of football for Supercoach that I can understand. Considering he has such good scoring potential, and as painful as it was to have him out for a week, do you think it's worth hanging on to him if he's looking like missing again this week and Curry is iffy cover?
I guess that's an interesting question, because I guess the information we're getting now is that Mumford will be 2 weeks, could be one, but he's had a knee flare up and had some surgery. So that really doesn't sound very encouraging at all for him playing for the rest of the year. I think that if I had him, I'd be frustrated and I'd be hitting the trade button this week.
At the very least, he did go up, 70,000 in 1 week and still score you 164 points. So, yeah, I think, unfortunately, it's probably best to cut your losses there. It's not really tenable to hold and cop a donut. And I think it's probably an equally bad option to start trading with your R3 spot to try and get maybe only 30, 40 points on field, or even picking a really risky mid-pricer to try and keep Mumford into your team. I think, yeah, the better move would just be to sideswap him and move him on to another player. Is there anyone that looks particularly good to you, Mark, at the moment in the rucks?
Well, we picked Jacobs, and I guess one of the reasons for that was durability. So hopefully he can stay out on the park, because, that's been an advantage so far. I think the one that stands out for me is probably Minson. He's gone down a little bit in price. I think it's a direct swap from Mumford. Has that huge ceiling, also pretty durable. So, yeah, Minson for me, I think.
Would you think about going down to a mid-pricer? And I know we talk about that being risky and Hickey turned out badly already, but Trent West with
Lewenberger. Yeah, he does seem the obvious one this week, doesn't he?
Yeah. Out for 10 to 12. He's in only under 3,000 teams, so he's a unique that you're going to love to have if he does well. 156, 82, 86, playing in a bad Brisbane side.
With Lewenberger in the team for those games.
Yeah. We've always known him to be a good contested mark, and he's been playing that second fiddle role really well. My only little question about him is at Geelong, the reason he didn't quite work out at the end of the day was that He was a premiership ruckman for us as that second fiddle ruck, but he struggled a little more as a sole ruck. So that may be a little bit of a challenge for him, but you would think that he has 10 to 12 weeks to work it out, and he's at that basement price. He's not a round 8 buy player. What do you reckon, Mark? Risk it?
Look, I'd back your judgment on this, being a Geelong fan, but never averaged over 80 in the past. So, yeah, might struggle.
He's in my Supercoach draft team, so I'm hoping that...
Talking him up.
Yeah, I'm hoping he does well. I'm talking up his trade credits right now. Anyway, moving on to the back line now. Who to trade for Hanley, Mark? Bartel or McVeigh are the two options that Jonathan are looking at. But he's also open to different premium options. Scoring has been a little bit up and down as per usual on the back line, but the super premium seem to be keeping up their averages with Mitchell 116, Bartel 105, McVeigh probably the one that's not gone quite to expectations at 93, but again, very consistent. Would you go with the lock-ins during preseason, or would you look for more unique players? I know Jench, he's really come up recently.
Broadbent, averaging 109 and only like 414,000.
Even Suckling, Mark.
Good question, mate. I think that if you were just going to straight swap to the premiums, I probably like Bartel the best at the moment. He seems the most reliable. McVeigh seems like he's found plenty of the ball so far. If Sydney start winning, I think he'll start scoring quite well. They seem a little bit of a class above the rest. They have Hibbard on the next line. Sean Burgoyne, if he stays in the middle for the rest of the year, he could average 110. He's been crushing it so far, but he generally doesn't spend all his time in the midfield, so that's probably pretty risky. Cade Simpson's looked really good for Carlton, given the fact that they've just been losing every week. Hasn't that been fun? So, yeah, look, I would strongly consider Jench. I think that you would assume that he's going to get tagged at some stage. Just, we've seen this before, that player takes on that role and then gets someone put on them at some point just because they're killing it every week. But, yeah, I think that if you want the cash out, Jench or Suckling both seem pretty good picks, and Bartel is at the top end if it was me. I really like Michael Hibbard as a pick.
Yeah, I really like Hibbard too, and actually might have even started him if not for the preseason hammy injury. In fact, probably would have. So, yeah, he's certainly up there in consideration for me. But Bartel was, I was really nervous on his selection, and even when he's been scoring well, I thought, you know, surely this is not going to continue. But he's continued to present as a forward target and rack up disposals, so... Yeah, I'll probably try and bring him in after the round 8 bye mark.
Yeah, I think I'll be doing the same.
Probably Walker would be the only one that misses out of the four at the end of the day.
And he has been losing money rapidly.
I think he was the one out of the four that...
seemed obvious not to pick.
Yeah, so it's probably good in that regard. Hopefully people stayed away. On to the next question here from Adam Whitfield, and he's asking about what to do if you get hit by the Mummy Hanley double whammy.
And we do know some people that are out there that have been hit by this. There would be heaps. We are fans of both of these players in general. I would be trading both of them. I know Hanley's listed as two. You could keep Hanley. Probably a borderline call. I think that I'd trade him because of a couple of reasons. One, the fact that he scored so low in his most recent game, which means it's going to be hard for him to hold his price. And two, the fact that Rich went down means that he's more likely to cop attention from a tagger in the future. So Hanley might be someone that I'm looking to upgrade to at some point. I'd be pretty tempted to trade him, and we've already discussed Mummy.
I'd definitely be looking at trading the two. We've got another question here about Leuenberger, Mark, and that's really unfortunate for Brisbane that, Jesus Christ, hit so hard by injuries to key players. He's out for 10 to 12, so again, you'd be trading Leuenberger and Hanley out if you're getting hit by those two as well.
No choices. Leuenberger, very unlucky.
On to a question here from Mark LaCastro on Facebook. Jimmy Webster, should you trade him? And who to, Mark? There's not too many backline options.
What happened with Jimmy Webster last week? Seriously. I didn't actually see a lot of that game. I was watching the other game, but it seemed like he might have even been getting tagged because there's no one else really in the St. Kilda backline to tag, and they might have had Petrenko on him. His disposal efficiency was terrible, 13 possessions. Is his groin still affecting him? I'm really not sure. Very, very disappointing score. Very disappointing game. Break even of 36. I think that means to me, break even of 36, I would give him another chance personally. There's also nobody to go to unless you can get him up to like a Suckling type. There's nobody to go to. College Ajni is about the same, might have the same output going forward and is a round 8 buy player. Very, very limited options. So I think that probably just hold and look for a chance to upgrade him in the next few weeks.
Ashby, Mark, is on the bubble for the Bombers.
Mm. Ashby, yes. I think that he will be a sub at some point. I think he will rotate in and out of the Bombers' side. He's looked really good. We'd want to get some games into him this year, but there's going to be a bunch of Essendon players that are in that sort of 17 to 22 position that are going to rotate through the team over the course of the year. So, yeah, might get 10 to 12 games this year. I'd be surprised if he got 10 in a row or even 5 in a row without being a sub.
Well, I think Cutler, if you can use the cash straight away from that downgrade to put points on field in a really valuable way, might consider Webster to Cutler. But otherwise, yeah, I agree with you, Mark. Probably just hold because there's no good options. But I don't mind Cutler because, you know, there's been talk about him and they've been hit so badly by injuries and he already came into the team before the Hanley-Lewenberger issue. So, yeah, I expect that he'll be rotated through the team. Next question here from James Hawkins. Mark, is it time to downgrade Daisy?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You bastard is what I've got to say about that. You got him rid of him last week or a couple of weeks ago for Thomas. A very risky move at the time.
Yeah.
And you what a stroke ended of genius. On your feet as usual.
Yeah. Oh, more than land on my feet, buddy. They're the same price right now. Couldn't be happier.
I was actually expecting him to be on the injury list this week or not play because he did cop a fair shoulder knock during the game, but I haven't seen anything like that. So I do expect him to front up again this week. And I guess the reason we picked Daisy and the reason we've still got him is that he has a big score within him. It wouldn't surprise me one little bit to see him score a 120 or at least a decent 100 and play really well. Doesn't look that fit. He's got a break even of about 60, so his price isn't going to go down, so you don't have to get him out. But Daisy to a Crouch sort of move seems pretty decent.
Yeah, I'd trade him out if I were in that position because in the midfield you can use MPP with a lot of back mid and mid forward premium so that you can basically trade to anyone. You should be able to find at least one option that can generate you better return on your investment than Daisy. So I think, yeah, I'd probably go aggressive and just cull him. I think it's a bit worrying that Collingwood were playing so well when he was scoring so well and Carlton are playing just absolutely terribly because Thomas was still the outside guy. He was the link man. He got those marks on the wing forward 50 arc where he was the transitional player, also delivering inside 50. You know, he's not getting these opportunities because somebody has to actually win that ball. He's under more pressure when he does get the ball. I'd probably just maneuver to trade him out. And even if it's a round 8 buy player like Fasolo or Crouch, I think I'd rather go aggressive, make the cash, and then use another trade again to shore yourself up before the round 8 buy.
If you had the cash, would you be picking someone like Ollie Wines? Fantastic start to the season.
I know you wanted to put him on the run sheet, Mark, so you must really love the footy that he's playing.
Keep getting asked by the veterans at Supercoach Coach, is he a good pick? Is he a good pick? Everyone wants to be on board with this guy.
Yeah, he's only in 23,000 teams at the moment, so he's still a POD and cheaper than Mark Murphy was at the start of the season, so he's still a good get even though he's already gone up 75K. You just got to remember the opposition that they played. Port Adelaide have done well, but you know they haven't exactly played the hardest opponents. Carlton, round one, of course, haven't played that well. Adelaide have been in poor form. Then played North Melbourne in a loss. This last week played the Brisbane Lions. So not exactly
the North Melbourne score was the only game he got under 100 as well.
So I think they've got a little bit harder run coming
going
up.
I just don't see him going up to the elite status this year. He'd need to be sort of averaging 110 plus. I think that he seems more like a probably 105 player by the end of the year, maybe pushing towards the 110. Probably presents a little bit of value at his current price. Really good player to watch and barrack for, so I can understand the interest here. Second year, though, it's not many people that become genuine midfield premiums in their second year.
Still, if you're going to bring him in, absolute power to you because he's a fun player to watch and absolute tank around the clearances and real talent they got to steal there.
Definitely an upgrade on Daisy.
Certainly would be. We've got a question here from Adam Enright, and it's a little bit of the same flavor as the last few weeks. What to do with Buddy, Mark? And
piss him off. Last week it was the worst mistake of our Supercoach careers, and then only a week later it doesn't seem so horrible. I don't know. I mean, Sydney have been awful. I can't get a read here. Like, the one game that they've won, he scored 130. If Sydney were winning more games, surely he'd be doing a lot better, and so would people like Tom Mitchell as well, that you'd expect Sydney to do better and at least make the eight and win a lot more games for the year. I think that you mentioned earlier that Tippett is maybe this week, next week more likely. Once Reed comes back as well, Goodsey, It's going to take a lot of focus off Buddy. It's going to make their forward line work better. It's going to mean that they win more games, and it's going to mean Buddy's going to get a lot more balls. So I can see Buddy improving over the course of the year, but I mean, he's going to lose a lot of value now. And on current form, on the current Sydney team, it's going to be pretty frustrating watching Buddy every week.
With all the Buddy talk that we've had, I don't need to add much more than that. We'll go on to a question from Robert Cullen here from Facebook. Is it time to cut losses on Tom Mitchell and take cash via Fasolo this week or Lloyd next week? What do you think about Tom Mitchell, Mark? And just before we get into him, also a bit sad that we got so many questions about Tom Mitchell too, because both of us preferred Luke Parker in the preseason, so I hope to have swayed a few minds on the Parker-Mitchell dilemma, but
shame, yeah. I couldn't sway my own. I'm really regretting not having Parker at the moment. Given he's averaging 101 over Sydney playing poorly, he feels like someone that could go even higher than that over the course of the year.
Would you look at Fasolo this week or Lloyd next, Mark?
So you would be trading Mitchell out?
Probably would. He's already dropped 40K, and I think he could drop a little bit more. I think if Sydney were playing top four football, I definitely wouldn't be saying that. But like you said, who knows? Who can get a read of their form at the moment? And off the back of that, I don't really want to be riding Tom Mitchell as a mid-forward player, because he's not getting as much midfield time as a lot of the other players are.
He scored 93 and 97 in the first 2 weeks. I think I'd actually be more inclined to sit him out. He's break-even of 122. He could actually hit that break-even. Is Mitchell someone that I would actually potentially consider to bring into my own side at one point if he got cheap enough? Yeah, I think he probably is. So from that perspective, I think that he may not be doing as well as you wanted, but I'd probably just hold him myself. If you think Fasolo can average the same as Mitchell and you get $200,000 out of that, if that's your judgment, then that seems like a pretty easy move.
Because he's not an absolute lock for your top six forward premiums. He was a mid-pricer that you were banking on turning into a premium. So you do have those few opportunities during the year where you can take a premium or a mid-price premium and downgrade them to a mid-pricer that's on the rise and bank, 150K for a player that will score essentially the same thing. The potential is there. I mean, Fasolo might only average 5-10 points less than Mitchell. Next question here, similar line to Mitchell, and that's Caddy, Mark. So if you still have him, would you trade him? He had another poor game this weekend.
Well, he was the sub. I mean, I remember last week's show I was saying, yeah, I'd probably keep Caddy. I expect him to come good, and then he was the sub. I felt so bad when I saw he was the sub.
That was certainly unexpected.
It was. I mean, he has been the sub in the past, so it's not like a ridiculous surprise, but he's actually lost money now. Probably cost you a bunch of points, has a break even of 94. I still think he's got some okay scores in him over the year, but yeah, no, I'd be getting rid of Caddy. I don't think you really have a whole lot of choice. Like, he was there to either become a premium or make you a bunch of cash, and he's kind of done neither. So Caddy to Fasolo seems like you only get 90,000 out of that. Still seems like something I'd do.
I just want to take us back to 2 weeks ago when we got asked about Caddy and Hawkins, and we compared the two, Mark.
I said Hawk, I think.
No, you said you'd ditch Hawk, and he's gone 118.91. Well, you didn't like the selection in the first place, so I guess after 35 and 59, it was hard to back him in. Yeah. But yeah, he's certainly worked out a little bit better, so I hope that those that actually did
select. He's played five good quarters.
Yeah, but that's what you brought Hawk in for, though. You can kick 3 goals in a quarter and go up quickly in price. So hope that those that did pick him actually kept him so that they could enjoy those 2 scores.
This is another draft brag, isn't it?
Yeah, he's in my draft team. And after 35 and 59, I think I'm entitled to brag about 2 average premium scores. All right.
While we're talking about draft, can we bring up last week when I beat you?
Yeah, all right. Back to that. All right, last question for the round, Mark, and certainly been a long show for round 5. What are your thoughts on Jench and Bruce? So we talked about Jench already. Bruce, Mark, can he sustain 100 average? What do you think? Hawks have got a lot of scores on the board. Do you think they can continue that?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, is it? Aren't there? Like, I think there was only, like, Mitchell might have been the only person at Hawthorn to average over 100 last year. They could have 7 this year. It's insane. Definitely playing more midfield time. The Hawks are getting heaps of scores. I expect him to have a lower game at some point, because he has in the past, but a little bit like what happened with Buddy a few years ago. Once he spent that extra time in the midfield, it cut out those really low scores. So we might even see that with Bruce this year. Yeah, he's killing it, averaging 110 so far. Keep it up. Not at 110, but 95 plus.
now that he's gone up in price, it makes it a bit hard to select him, but he's in only 15,000 teams mark, so huge POD.
Yes. Hopefully the Bombers can win this week, man. Going to be a big game on Monday.
Supremely, supremely depleted. I was very surprised to see that. We watched it with our mate Faz, who used to be on the show, and yeah, it wasn't a very good viewing for him. Geelong Hawthorn will be massive on Monday, though. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I love that Monday game. Let's see if we can rekindle some of the stuff that's happened in the last few years. So it's going to be a long round. Don't forget, starts Thursday night, no footy on Friday, goes all the way to Monday. So it's going to be a long time till we get to know our rankings this week.
As Mark said, remember that Thursday you have to do something with your teams, Brisbane and Richmond. Toggle of those players if need be. All the best for the round, and we'll catch you again next week. Go Supercoach, coach.
See ya.